World Cup Talk. Christina here with the storylines that matter most in football today. England already has the kind of World Cup problem that can shift a whole bracket. Tino Livramento is out, Trevo Kalibah is in, and even if you're not an England fan, that swap matters because it changes the balance of a team that was leaning on mobility and recovery pace out wide. When a tournament starts moving fast, late defensive changes are never just about one name on a team sheet. They affect how aggressive a coach feels he can be, how high the line sits, and how much protection the midfield suddenly has to provide. For Thomas Tuchel, this is the first reminder that a World Cup can punish planning in a matter of hours. And what makes this story worth leading with is not just the injury itself. It's the timing. We're in that razor-thin stretch where every training report, every warm-up, every precaution suddenly becomes strategic news. England is one of the teams carrying massive expectations, but the conversation around contenders is already changing from ideal lineups to emergency solutions. That is a real tournament theme, not just a tabloid obsession. The teams that go deep are usually the teams that absorb bad luck without letting it rewrite their identity. The second big thread today is the superstar fitness cloud hanging over some of the biggest names in the competition. Argentina coverage has been dominated by the question everyone asks whenever Lionel Messi is anything less than 100%. Will he play? And if he plays, what version of him are we getting? Brazil has similar nerves around Neymar-related reporting. Now, some of this coverage clearly slides towards speculation, so it's important to stay disciplined. Not every dramatic headline means a confirmed absence. But the broader point is real. Once the tournament arrives, uncertainty around iconic players becomes part of the story economy, part of the tactical debate, and part of the emotional temperature for fans around the world. What I find interesting is how these stories reveal the modern World Cup contradiction. Teams want to protect players, coaches want to hide information, and media ecosystems reward the smallest hint of instability. So fans end up living inside a fog of half signals, modified training, late fitness tests, limited minutes, day-to-day language. For Argentina, even a minor fitness question around Messi changes the mood of a match and the psychology of the opponent. For Brazil, anything involving Neymar creates immediate anxiety because his availability is never just a medical issue. It becomes a referendum on Brazil's margin for error. Another discussion that deserves more attention is the United States environment around the tournament itself, especially venue security and match day management. One of the more notable reports in the last day pointed to counter-drone systems being deployed at U.S. match venues. That is obviously not the romantic side of football, but it is absolutely part of the reality of hosting a mega event across multiple cities. At the same time, separate reporting has raised concerns about fan segregation inside stadiums. Put those threads together and you get a bigger story. The 2026 World Cup is not only a sporting spectacle, it's an enormous operations challenge. And organizers are being judged now, not later. This matters for fans because the tournament experience is not built only by what happens on the pitch. It's built by how easy it is to enter a venue, how safe supporters feel, how conflict is anticipated, and whether host cities can manage huge emotional crowds without turning the day into a logistical headache. When people talk about a successful World Cup, they often mean atmosphere, but atmosphere depends on infrastructure. Good planning feels invisible. Bad planning becomes the headline. There's also a quieter but really useful football story today. The training and preparation angle around teams trying to manage energy before opening matches. We've seen updates around the U.S. resuming training and around Portugal dealing with lineup uncertainty, including concern over missing pieces in the opener. That is where tournaments get fascinating for me. Before the public really sees form, coaches are making calculation after calculation. how much intensity to ask for, how much to conceal, which players are fit enough to start versus fit enough to survive the last 30 minutes. A World Cup opener is never just about talent. It's about who arrives with the cleanest internal rhythm. This is why I always think listeners should pay attention to training details without overreacting to every rumor. If a team is calm, stable, and consistent in its preparation, that usually shows up in the first game. If a team is improvising around injuries, tactical uncertainty, or late personnel changes, you can often feel it immediately in the way the first 20 minutes look. The opening phase of a tournament is a stress test for preparation quality. And then there's the fan-facing conversation, which can sound secondary until you remember that World Cups are remembered socially as much as competitively. Reporting about segregation concerns, host city systems, and even the broader costs and pressures around attending these matches tells us something bigger about where football is heading. The modern World Cup sells community, access, and global celebration, but it is also increasingly expensive, controlled, commercialized, and security heavy. That tension is real. Fans want joy and spontaneity. Organizers want predictability and risk management. The tournament has to somehow offer both. One more note before I wrap up. The stats-driven coverage around stars like Messi, Mbappe, and Haaland is already adding another layer to the spectacle. Records are useful because they give casual listeners an entry point, but they also shape pressure. When every appearance can become historic, every fitness update feels larger, every lineup call feels symbolic, and every minute played gets interpreted as destiny. That can be thrilling, but it can also distract from the less glamorous truth that World Cups are often decided by squad depth, recovery, structure, and adaptability. So if I had to sum up today's World Cup picture in one thought, it would be this. The tournament is already reminding us that drama does not begin at kickoff. It begins in the medical room, on the training ground, at the turnstiles, in the security briefing, and in the nervous silence before teams publish the lineup. England's injury problem is the sharpest immediate football story. The superstar fitness cloud over Argentina and Brazil keeps the emotional stakes sky high. And the host side logistics conversation is a warning that the biggest event in football has to function as well as it performs. That's the real heartbeat of the day. See you tomorrow.